When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Wee hours of the morning, Cowboys Radio Network calling the literal last second play, Pearl, fourth and goal. Sears had a chance at the very, very end, but it was really, really nothing. And this was a Cowboys win that was gritty because this was no beauty of a game. That's for sure.
They fumbled in the last minute there at the goal line. It could have been a tragic, tragic loss. Man, they needed this so bad too because their schedule is insanely tough. Here's the key game, I think, is can they hold off Washington? Washington looks like the class of the NFC East with Dallas, I think, behind them. But we haven't seen Washington play anyone real. So Dallas is going to have these games against Washington. But Washington plays all these chippies all year long. They might build up enough lead where they can lose twice to Dallas and still win the division. So now it's actually a really important win for Dallas. If they come away with this 2-for-3, they go to Detroit and San Francisco next. It would have been bad, bad news.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Commanders did beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. So to say they haven't beaten anybody, yeah, they looked good against the Cleveland Browns. But they, you know, we'll see. I know those little Arizona Cardinals there, but the Cardinals beat the 49ers yesterday. So, this was a big game, a huge game for the Dallas Cowboys. And it was a weird game because the game gets delayed an hour and a half. Because of weather, just thunderstorms, lightning, the whole deal. They come out and it didn't look great. Dak Prescott turning the ball over. You know, you want to talk about a team that looked like they didn't have enough weapons. Clearly that was the Cowboys because it was like Dak and CD not on the same page. Who else are you going to? But they got the run game going a little bit. And then this is what you want from your quarterback. You got under 2 minutes left to go. You've got the ball. You're down four. You need a touchdown. And somehow this guy finds a way to get it done. And to be fair to Tolbert, who catches that game-winning touchdown, he had left the game just a snap earlier because it seemed like his shoulder was out of the socket. But because both teams called timeout, it got a couple extra seconds to collect himself, if you will.
I saw another description of what happened to him.
Oh, was that not a shoulder?
I don't know.
It looks like his shoulder.
There was a quote after the game that someone said he broke his man parts.
Oh,
but maybe
no.
That was a euphemism that I don't even understand.
At
some point, I think he took a groin shot as well. But you're right. No, Tolbert looked hurt, and that's a big deal.
He took himself off the field.
Yeah, that's rare. find that quote from Tyler Smith if you can. Maybe it was a euphemism. But he said basically he got his man parts into a bunch.
Sounds painful.
Then again, they need Tolbert so badly because Brandon Cooks was not on the field and is not really that good anyway. They're lacking a big-time receiving target, almost as if they should trade for one.
Maybe
a tall guy. Why is it not going to happen? They need Devontae Adams so badly because they're having to win all these close games. They need something.
Well, they said they can't afford him. And it's weird to think about the Cowboys. I mean, if you can't afford a rental like this or Derrick Henry or whatever, can't we just call this what it is? You've mismanaged your cap. That's what you've done. So it's not like, oh gosh, we can't afford him. Like, you're to blame, aren't you? Because the Dak Prescott extension and the CeeDee Lamb extensions, these don't kick in this year. That's for next season. That's not for this season. This was massive. And here's the thing about the Cowboys. This is when you're happy that Dak Prescott is your quarterback. $60 million. This is when you're happy about it. Yes, Pearl.
We found the Tyler Smith quote.
It's too dirty.
Oh, you found that.
Wait, can you read it? EJ, I don't want to have anything to do with this.
I was going to say, I don't know if I could even read this, but I will
You can't spell it either.
No.
Just bleep it.
So on the touchdown winning pass, Tyler Smith said, quote, bro, it was miraculous. JT literally sprained his bleeping bleeps. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. Sprained his bleeps during the play before.
Oh, so he said excuse me about the curse word?
Are we? I think we can say that word, EJ.
Is it technical?
It's a body part. No, you can't say that one.
You can't say that word?
No. No, not if you're referring to it. Like if I'm saying, hey, I love eating nuts at the ball game, that's different than this.
Okay.
Wait. I totally disagree. There's no...
Manny.
Wait, Manny, we can't say almonds. That word?
No, definitely not.
No, I have some almond nuts.
He can say it. That's fine.
I mean, what if you're talking about a peanut allergy?
What if you're talking about wiffle ball bat to the...
No, you can't do that.
Okay. Listen, I trust you guys. All get it.
Wait, so you guys never seen the SNL CeeLo Green about the cat? And he's like, you know... I don't even want to go down there. But anyway, he says the other word for a cat.
Yeah.
And then like he's like, oh, so you mean actual cat? He's like, yeah, or maybe.
Oh,
like,
God.
I got to tell you right now, I disagree with you on that word. Because you can say anything nowadays. And I think that word is like yes. way down the list.
No. I'm sorry, Pearl. You can only say anything if you are a quarterback who just pulled off an upset
or erased
a 35-point deficit in college.
Yes.
If you are Diego Pavia, you can say whatever you want. If you're Cam Ward, you can say whatever you want. Maybe not Tyler Smith.
What do you think? This feels like an okay word to me.
I don't know where the line is. I've almost gotten us fined by the FCC many times.
My understanding is the body parts that are graphic in nature. You can't do.
Why don't you just say the anatomically correct word?
Yeah, that's even worse. I hate that word. That is the worst word in American language.
Well, the reason why I don't want to say it is because then Manny will clip it, and then you're going to hear me say this word 100 times every morning. That's why I'm not saying.
It's
going to get in the system, and then all the Odyssey stations are going to be able to say it.
By the way, I'm expecting a text from Pete Bilotti in like 10 seconds about, don't say it.
At least I didn't spell it.
By the way, this is such a wonderful quote, too. He goes, bro, it was miraculous. JT literally sprained his bleep and bleeps. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. Sprained. It's just a one, bro. It was miraculous. Like that's a way to describe a guy got hit in the groin and came back on the field. Bro, it was a miracle of all miracles.
That quote is nuts.
Game-winning touchdown. There you go. And Dallas.
Miracles come in all forms. Jalen Tolbert coming back into the game. Yes. By the way, this is the thinnest win I've ever seen. Like, not only Jalen Tolbert caught the ball, and if you're not seeing it, he was barely over the goal line. It was fourth down. They'd already blown a bunch of chances. This easily could have gone. It was a coin flip game.
Can I tell you how much I appreciate that, too? Because how often do you see teams making a boneheaded mistake where you throw in front of the sticks or something like that? At least he was in the end zone. And it was good coverage, too, but obviously not good enough. So...
I worry about the Cowboys, though, because it seems like they're going to have to win a lot of close games. They beat the Giants 20-15. And, you know, last year they were able to blow out teams, and Dak was throwing for 380 yards. That offense doesn't seem like it's here anymore, which makes me nervous. They're going to have to win a lot of close games.
You know, it's funny. I actually think the offense isn't the same, and the defense is not the same. Well, remember, the defense was staking to them some leads as well. You know,
with injuries now.
Yep. No Micah Parsons, no DeMarcus Lawrence. Stepped up, though, with the guys who were left on the field because they lost Nealand, right?
Marshawn Nealand, yeah.
In, like, the first quarter. And DeMarion Overshawn really stepped up, and you did have guys who stepped up yesterday for the Cowboys. And so I think you guys, if you're a Cowboy fan, thankful for Dak Prescott this morning because we watched all over the NFL and guys couldn't make that play yesterday. And Dak Prescott did. When it counted, it's not like he had this great game. He turned the ball over. It was a slog, but when it mattered, they did get it done. And then if I'm the Steelers, I'm just not feeling all that great about Justin Fields right now. It's not that he was so bad, Pearl. It's just, I kind of want to see what it looks like now with Russ. I'm officially Russ curious.
So you'd like to have more than 3 points at halftime just once in your life? I mean, this offense is terrible. Justin Fields still holds on to the ball too long. He did not have a good game yesterday. But I thought they want to be here. Collinsworth and Tirico were talking about a lot. This is where Mike Tomlin wants to be. He wants a 17-13 lead with 4 minutes left in the game. And it came to, they just missed this Sunday night. But I think this is by design. I don't even think it's the quarterback. I'll bet you Russell looks very similar because it looked similar the year before.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Tomlin's way too conservative. I almost feel like you got to get back in the draft and try and go back to the glory days of Big Ben.
Well, I think that's very obvious. They don't have enough weapons either. You know, nobody, it feels like nobody does. And, you know, that was the thing about the Steelers. They used to have great wide receivers, ones that look great. And now you got Pickens, who was a non-factor basically yesterday, and Freiermuth, and that's about it.
Well, they had great wide receivers, but those receivers weren't great when they left Pittsburgh. I mean, Ben would hit him between the numbers. What did Santonio Holmes do?
Oh, I know, but if Plaxico Burress doesn't shoot himself in a nightclub with his gun in his bandana, and his sweatpants, I mean, he caught one of the biggest touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what
upset
about
of the undefeated Patriots?
There have been a lot. Like, there's a rule, do not sign a former Pittsburgh guy, because usually they stink. But I think that they're not going Justin Fields' future. I already see enough. If they bench him for Russell Wilson, that means he doesn't get the contract at the end of the season.
He hasn't earned it. Why would he be in line? Now, the one thing about Fields that you appreciate is on a third and short, you know he'll take the contact, or any short, whatever.
He's a very effective runner.
He'll definitely run, but this is not going to, it's not going to be enough. And I know that I'm probably going to regret saying this, because watching Russell Wilson is no picnic either.
It's going to be 17-13 in the fourth quarter, one way or the other. It's going to be the same team. It's okay. Tomlin.
But here's the thing. If you're a Steeler fan, are you getting a little concerned when you're watching the Ravens? And
yes,
Ravens' offense looks amazing. And to be honest, I know the Bengals keep losing, but their offense is not the problem. Well, debatable.
Their offense is amazing.
No, their offense is incredible, and Joe Burrow had 5 touchdowns yesterday.
They can't run without, like they used to, but they're scoring at will.
Yes, they are, but are you going to really, quibble about the offense? But when you have your last 3 drives, and now what has become a dogfight of a game, now we're talking about the Bengals and the Ravens, and you go interception, 3 and out, and then 3 rush yards in that overtime that leads to a missed field goal.
They were milking.
And the interception was not Burrow's fault. Yeah. Jamar Chase already said that was my fault.
They were milking the lead. They have the 5th worst defense in the league. The Ravens have the 8th worst defense in the league. Like, these are powerhouse offenses.
No, I get it, but I'm saying those last 3 drives for the Bengals offense, they couldn't salt the game away.
Right. But I'm saying that's not because their offense is in high power. They were just trying to kill clock. It wasn't like they didn't even let Burrow do his thing. That's not because the offense has a problem.
But why?
I'm saying it's the most explosive. It is the most explosive offense.
I know, but the offense should be trying to salt the game away there, and they weren't able to do it, right?
Right, because the coaches decided to run plays to, like, they were like, just kill the clock, right?
Right, but it wasn't effective because they weren't getting enough first downs, right?
But I'm saying when that offense is trying to move the ball, they're incredibly explosive.
They are, again, the 5 touchdowns, I get it, but you also had 2 separate 10-point leads in the third quarter and the fourth quarter and couldn't hang on to them.
Yeah, but your defense is bad now, which is really so surprising.
Yeah, they are bad. 855-212-4227. They look old and slow. But you are welcome to weigh in on the Cowboys, what you saw yesterday. Are you now happy that the team gave Dak Prescott that big contract extension, the $60 million a year, and then also for the Steelers. Are you ready for Russ? Oh, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. Did you guys see that one sideline report from Melissa Stark yesterday? She had 2 good ones. First,
she was on fire yesterday.
I know, she was awesome. They got wraps.
Love that.
During the 90-minute delay. Not sandwiches, but wraps. That type of sandwich. And she also reported that he's going to have a new catchphrase when he comes back.
Who, Russ?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
Do we know what it is yet?
Yeah. No, I think we do. So what was the Seattle one? Was Go Hawks, right?
Go Hawks, right.
And then Let's Broncos ride. Country. I think this one is going to be, what did she say? No sleep till 7?
I missed it when she said this.
I think don't sleep till 7 or quest for 7 or something about the 7th Super Bowl for the Steelers organization. Something.
I'm a little disappointed. We remember we had a whole thing about let's weld. Like, we were trying to find a good catchphrase. And it's something about the 7th grade.
Let's weld. Let's I forgot weld. About that.
That was your, I think that was a pearl off.
Bro, it's miraculous. Dude. Can that be our new catchphrase? Bro, it's miraculous. That should be the name of their team. Actually, no, that was the wrong team.
Maybe something was welded together after that point. Sounded like it.
Bro, miraculous.
I thought his shoulder was hurt. Silly me.
Yeah, I have no idea. That's
well,
what
he's hanging his shoulder.
That's kind of like
right, but he's hanging his shoulder maybe because it was the man region something was wrong, and he was trying to cover or maybe give himself some aid.
That's like when Josh Allen's head bounced off the turf like a basketball and goes, yeah, I hurt my ankle.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you just run off the field with no limp if you hurt your ankle?
The best. Yeah, I got my ankle rolled up on. It's like, I think I see some brain matter on your jersey.
I've seen Pulp Fiction before. I know brain matter when I see it.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not joking about the injury is very serious, but the lying about the injuries is like...
Oh, this is like Tua with a back injury.
NFL,
stumbling.
I've noticed this all year long. They've definitely taken the last 2 years, taken a step back on concussions. They're getting further and further away from the settlement. They're like, well, we're going to go back to doing what we want.
Well, I saw Chase Daniel had a freeze frame that he put on his social media of Josh Allen coming out of the blue tent, and it looks like someone's handing him smelling salts. It's like, are you crazy?
Yeah. They're going to get this is not going to end well for the NFL.
I think it will.
I think that the concussion thing before was not going in a good direction, and they pivoted for the right reasons. If they're really going to go back to the way it was, something bad's going to happen.
Well, it just all
you
feels
mean someone
like
dying?
Such eye wash.
I don't want to say that, but like something bad is going to, like, I mean,
beyond billions of dollars.
Tua's going to play again. Like, Tua's going to play again, and we've seen what has happened to him when he gets concussed. And I'm not wishing anything against him or any of these guys, but like Josh Allen probably shouldn't have been on that field. He shouldn't have played yesterday, probably, because of what happened last week. And then you watch the way he played, you kind of wonder, maybe something's wrong. And then he has those two incidents, especially the one in the fourth quarter. And you're right, I think, about this, that the NFL is, they've decided the concussion thing, we're done with that.
Yeah.
Like, let's go back to the old school days. And this is not going to end well because these guys are bigger, stronger, faster than they were back then. I'm really worried right now.
And I'm not blaming the announcers, but they don't even touch it. They don't even touch it. And you know, I get it. There's probably a lot of pressure to do nothing to see here, or whether it's implicit or explicit. But I think it's definitely a problem. That would be, you know, does anyone think Tua is not going to end up just like two seasons ago, where after one concussion, then the next one he gets, he's going to be off the field in an ambulance?
Yeah, the public, I think, is with you. I think we all are kind of nervous about that. You know, the bigger risk for football is paralysis. Like, we almost saw there was a really bad one earlier this year. So I think, yeah, I mean, football is incredibly... People die in high school all the time. It's an incredibly dangerous sport. I don't think that's necessarily how someone's going to die. We almost saw your guy, DeMar Hamlin, die of a heart issue.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. It's weird because you say, and I think we all don't want to see these massive headshots, and we get it, and we know the sport's really dangerous. But the kickoff rule to me does not seem like it's keeping anyone healthier. And that was the whole idea behind it. And you just keep adding games. First you added playoff games. Now you're adding regular season games. You add games. What do you think's going to happen?
The kickoff rule probably doesn't look super dangerous. It looks like a run play. It's kind of lame, to be honest. And the rules are very confusing. But you're right. They are adding games.
But they're adding plays.
But the thing about the concussion thing is we don't see it. We don't see the results. You know, we don't really see what happens when the person's 45 years old. So I think that's a little easier to handle. I think that's how everybody just turns a blind eye to it.
Coming up, we saw one veteran QB limping around the field yesterday. So what does his team do now? We'll get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Not winning games.
Right. Yeah, but I mean... I don't even know. Like, let's really talk about what he's up to. He went all the way to London. Like, he's got to build in some sort of ayahuasca trip, some sort of something there. There's a whole new set of weird things he could do over there, Maggie. You think he just went to London and was a tourist or played football? I feel like there had to be some adventurous thing he did over there. What's the point of getting on a plane for 6 hours if you're not going to do some sort of unusual self-improvement activity?
Can you imagine the types of theories that Rodgers has about Stonehenge?
Oh, he definitely saw Stonehenge. That's a great point. There's got to be some of the, or like,
what
I don't know.
What is Stonehenge, by the way? I know what it is, but what is the theory behind it?
Aliens made it, right?
I thought it was like some kind of calendar or totem.
Yeah, doesn't it read like the fall equinox or the winter solstice and the summer solstice? Something like that.
The question is, what does Aaron Rodgers think it is?
Yes. Aliens is way too easy.
Yeah. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is a little too obvious to go to Stonehenge. Like, there's some other weird thing.
Loch Ness to go to Scotland, maybe?
I think he thinks, like, the, I have no idea, like, Big Ben is secretly sending out missions to deep space or something. I think, like, he goes way, way beyond, like, the normal conspiracies, right?
I think he does them all. I think he'll do everything from moon landing to lizard people, you know? I think he's, like...
Well, he's beginning with Tartarian Empire.
What he doesn't do is read Brian Flores' defenses, clearly. Oh,
wow. I was going to say, or books from the library.
Yeah, that too.
He's doing his own research on the internet. Yeah, this is bad, guys. Kudos to the Vikings, by the way. To the victor goes the spoils. Vikings go over, almost gave the game away. Got a couple big defensive plays, though, that helped seal the game, and Darnold was good enough. This is not what you expected. I think you thought you were going to win the close ones. Am I wrong about that, EJ?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Wait, you thought the Jets were going to win the close ones?
With Rodgers, yes, because they've been playing close games because the defense has been good for a couple years now. You thought Rodgers was going to be the guy who took you over the top, and he's not doing that.
Well, I mean, last game was a monsoon. I don't think that counted against Denver, and he did actually get them into field goal winning.
Oh, last week was the worst.
But that was definitely
rookie
not a Rodgers.
Rookie quarterback, you're at home.
Rodgers outthrew the rookie quarterback by 200 yards.
Then why?
But they got him and he missed the field goal at the end of the game because it was a garbage game. They talk about a game they should have delayed. They should have delayed that game. They couldn't even, nobody could hold the ball. But by the way, and Rodgers, again, wasn't great and obviously threw the picks, but he was not terrible in the second half of that game. Like, he actually did some things. Minnesota, I don't know why Minnesota gets these huge leads and then just lets the other team back in. I thought Rodgers did some okay things. I'm more worried about him limping. Like, tell me what's going on there.
Well, let's talk about it. Aaron Rodgers has been getting crushed because the offensive line can't hold up.
Or is it just because he's injured? Are you sure it's the offensive line?
He's taking a lot of hits. He can't move. So it's not like he can escape.
But the hits are not what's hurting him. I feel like when he cuts or something, like, you can almost see his knee swelling in real time.
Oh.
I just think he's not. I think there's something wrong.
No, well, his knee is banged up. It's swollen. He said this last week. And then he goes down, like, in a heap. He had pressure in his face, especially in the first half. And he was limping.
I wonder if the Achilles thing is not fully healed.
Well, fair to wonder that. By the way, did I get clowned about saying, should Rodgers even play in this game?
Yeah, definitely.
On this show, yes. But the internet actually was, like, way more people were on your side than I thought.
And when he limped off the field the first time, now miraculously he ended up coming back in. And that's what I basically was like, Robert Saleh, just buy a ticket and watch the game in the freaking stands because you don't do anything. But he did come out and he didn't play terribly after that. But he limped off the field. Wasn't it going through everyone's mind? Like, why are you even playing today?
But he got hurt by being sacked. He didn't get hurt because of the turf.
Right. Yeah, he's taking hits because their offensive line can't protect him.
But wasn't your point to not play on the crappy turf in London?
No, my point was you're already hurt. So it wasn't so much about the turf. The crappy turf is his home turf in MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, you're just taking him off the field a lot. I mean, I am.
I mean, honestly, that last drive, like, I think if he could have called holding and the Jets could have won that game too. The last interception, the wide receiver got manhandled, and they got
Mike Williams. I mean, I know he had turned around, but were they anywhere close to being on the same page with that route?
That ball was terrible.
It was terrible.
Terrible.
And he's not on the same page with Garrett Wilson either.
Yeah, but I mean, Gilmore just grabbed the receiver and turned him around. If it was a normal play, they easily would have called holding, but they didn't want to throw that flag so late.
Sorry, a decent ball, it's a flag. Like, I think because he threw the ball so low and to the inside that Gilmore didn't have to hold anymore. He just stopped holding and caught the ball. Like, it was such a bad ball. And
what that back shoulder 50-50 ball is. And usually Williams boxes out the cornerback and gets it. He just didn't turn fast enough.
No, he underthrew him.
Yeah, he underthrew
him. This was not a back. It was supposed to be a back shoulder. He didn't throw it there. He just... I don't know what Aaron Rodgers was doing. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's injured. He couldn't plant.
Well, no, I think Williams was. If Williams had turned around a few seconds earlier, he could have just boxed out Gilmore and made the play.
I don't think the ball was getting there.
He could have prevented. He maybe could have prevented the interception, like by playing defense. But he was never going to catch that.
He could have boxed. He was. He kept running. If he had stopped and just played, like, he's so much bigger than Gilmore.
But
he would
Gilmore
have had a
was
shot.
Inside him, yeah, on his hip, yeah, trailing him. I don't think he could have gotten back through Gilmore to get the ball. It was so low and so underthrown. Gilmore falling caught it almost by accident. The throw was terrible. So it was missing Garrett Wilson over the top was terrible, too.
Yeah,
that, he and Wilson are not speaking the same language. Yeah. So now we'll see about Devontae Adams. I mean, he would definitely help. Bogish has headlines for us. What's up, folks?
My unofficial poll question of the day: can you make NBA history in a preseason game, which doesn't really count? LeBron and Bronny James sharing the court for 4 minutes and 9 glorious seconds of last night's 118-114 preseason loss to the Suns. It's the first time a father and son have shared it. NBA court, but did they really? No matter what we think, LeBron enjoyed it, I think.
It's definitely a moment that I will never forget, and it's pretty cool.
I guess he's saving like the actual emotions for the regular season.
Definitely.
Dad had 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in just 16 minutes. Son had 0 points and 4 turnovers in 13 minutes.
Bronny doesn't score a lot, does he?
Or at all.
He had that pass, that little lefty layup on Friday.
That line was perfect.
How about that 2 points on Friday,
Bo? It's like you're just, this is what I don't understand. We're like 6 months ahead of you. You're just now stumbling on all the problems of Bronny in an NBA uniform.
I'm well
Stop talking about
Bronny.
His defense. He doesn't score, does he? Nope.
All right.
He's small,
all right,
isn't he?
I get it.
It's all right. Perloff said he's going to cry when Bronny and LeBron have a moment.
Oh, he said we all will, not just him.
Yeah. I probably won't cry. I think you guys are the softies. You'd definitely be emotional. Bogus is the
softie.
One with a sports on. What if you and Jake played pro together?
That would be amazing. I would hope, again, that I am the one old and decrepit holding on for stud Jake to make it to whatever stupid professional league is employing me.
Bro,
not this
miraculous.
Way.
That's how it would be.
Dak Prescott, 2 interceptions, 1 lost fumble, but also this last night in Pittsburgh.
For the ball game, 4th and goal. Prescott in the gun, snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert on the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott with 20 seconds to play. Goodness gracious me.
Brad Sham liked it on Cowboys Radio. Dallas winning 2017 on that 4-yard fourth down conversion. Jalen Tolbert caught it.
I love going to war with these guys. We showed grit. We showed integrity. We showed everything that we needed to show. And came on the road and got a hard-fought victory. 3-0 on the road. So we just got to keep building on it.
This game ended near 1 a.m. Eastern after kicking off 90 minutes late because of storms in the area. It's back-to-back losses now for the Steelers. Justin Fields' offense only mustered 226 yards. No confirmation yet from Elias or the like, but I can't imagine many teams have won despite doing this. The Dolphins missed 2 field goals, had a punt blocked, and were -2 in turnover margin, and they still beat the Patriots 15-10. Yesterday.
Oh, boy. I don't think they should have, by the way. Again, you had Jalen Polk. Basically, he catches the ball in the back of the end zone. And they have to go to the replay. And this is not, to me, what replay should be about. Replay is about overturning the obvious stuff to make sure we don't have an Armando Galarraga, Jim Joyce situation, right? To make sure you don't have the... Well, it ended up happening in the Rams-Saints game anyway, where you don't have these awful, terrible calls, right? Isn't that the spirit
totally
of what replay? It's
no.
So
no,
we do every blade of grass. That's what it's become.
Yeah, that's what it should be. I mean, there's millions of dollars bet on this. You should have a completely accurate product. In fact, I think they need to expand it to every play.
Okay, but do you feel like you get accurate all the time?
Yeah,
Keon
like
Coleman
you,
stepped out. Nobody even said
did.
About that.
Well, that was also one mistake. It definitely, like, I can't imagine the NFL without replay, and they need to expand it.
It's fine, but I'm just saying it. You wanted to make sure you're getting things right, but there are times with the replay where you can't even tell if you're getting it right because it's such a minuscule, you're going down to pixels, basically, on your TV.
Right, but you should, right? I mean, does anybody think that they should not reverse, like, the right call?
They should always get it right.
But they don't still.
Yeah, I mean, baseball in particular. I don't know what's going on this weekend, but one of your Phillies was out at first base the other day, and Jazz Chisholm was out at second base in game one for the Yankees, and he ends up scoring the game-winning run. I don't know what those two replays one's a steal, one's a pickoff. And they're just like, oh, no, he's definitely safe, and he was definitely out.
Well, the other part, too, is with baseball for a second, is the strike zone is an issue.
Yeah.
And I think both teams, both the Phillies and the Mets, 100% had reason to be complaining on Friday night. That was out of line. That was like you're wondering whether the umpire has money on the game or has like a flight to catch or dinner reservations or something, all those jokes, because
That was Andy Fletcher.
How do you even, like, defend that?
Who's also apparently a terribly ranked umpire during the regular season, but was good enough to get a postseason assignment.
Yeah, was Angel Hernandez not available?
So do we go to robots? Are we ready?
We need the minor league thing where you just tap your helmet and in a nanosecond they have the quick replay and then, okay, good, that's a ball, that's a strike. Let's go.
We're so past where we should have had a robot umps years ago for balls and strikes, 100%. I don't know, but on the bases, you're going to have to be, it's a little bit different.
I think the one thing I'll disagree with Maggie on the replay is I actually like that the referees are aggressive in saying, I'm pretty sure this is wrong. We need to change it. I know there's the idea of like, oh, the call stands because what we called on the field. I personally don't like that. I think that's the way it's written.
It's got to be overwhelming evidence to, to change the call.
I think that's ridiculous. Like, personally, I feel like it's like if you see the play and there's reasonable doubt, like we do in, whatever, like I would say, all right, it's very clear that even if we can't see every little inch, it's most likely this guy dropped the ball. Like, it's not a catch. I just hate the plays when we know the guy didn't catch it, but it's like, whoa, there's not indisputable evidence. Right. Like, those plays kill me.
Replay assist is awesome.
That is not bad.
That is great.
The only thing is there's also still a method to it, though. With the replay assist is when it comes from New York or up top or wherever it's coming from. But if you go up and run a play quickly, like, did this happen last night in the Steeler game, right? They had a third and short. I believe this was last night in the Steelers-Cowboys. Now they're all running together. And they ran to the line to run a play quickly. But if they had just waited for the replay assist, they actually would have seen that they got the first down. I think it was Justin Fields on a run play.
Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah. There was also the weird one in the Jets game where the guys on TV didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, they were putting like 50 seconds back on the clock. And it was 3rd and 8, not 3rd and 2, because it was a Garrett Wilson catch that they changed to incomplete. And Rich Eisen was doing his London shtick and they weren't paying attention. While on the screen, they're moving things around. The clock is changing. Then finally, like, oh, by the way, this just happened.
By the way,
it's
talking
like Stacey Dale's on a double-decker bus. Meanwhile, what's the call with Garrett Wilson?
That broadcast was
let's move on. We're not going to talk about
it. Did you text Charlie Uke about that one yet?
No, I'm just saying... I don't want to say anything about any of my friends here.
We love it.
I love Rich. He's one of my favorite all-time favorites. He's a Jets fan, and Kurt Warner is the best, but oh my gosh.
I got a long list. That was a bad one, and Tom Verducci needs to stop trying to ask profound questions post-game to Phillies.
But they like
that about?
But everybody likes Verducci, though. Can you tell? He gets the best energy in those interviews.
And he's a tremendous writer, but he asked 6 questions yesterday to 2 different Phillies, and they were all paragraphs long. And Rocky Balboa references.
Just get to the finish line.
That's because you do not want to. You got to be careful. You want to talk so Castellanos is not talking. Like, that's the key, because he will embarrass you so badly.
I have a question for you, Pearl, because he went to 2 Rocky references.
Back-to-back Rocky references. It almost seemed
like Castellanos wasn't picking it up.
Definitely.
Is that a problem for a Philadelphia athlete? Or do you think that he just was so out of space? Like, Kyle Watson, I'm like, wow, he really doesn't get this?
That's how you read it? I took it as he's just not doing it. He knew what he was. He just didn't want to play with Verducci.
He's Popovich. I mean, he's torture. He loves to torture those guys.
Yeah.
In fact, and Harper loves Verducci. I thought they were going to hug.
I know, but I think he did the Harper, too. And Harper really didn't seem to give him much on the Rocky thing. I was like...
Well, what are you going to give him? Yo, Adrian? What's he supposed to give?
Win, Rocky, win.
I can't believe you guys aren't over this at all.
The Rocky?
Yeah, just the city of Philadelphia.
True.
You can't believe the city of Philadelphia is not over Rocky? Yeah. What? Are you crazy?
Enough already.
It's a good movie,
Rocky?
I get it. Anything else?
The actual games yesterday, the Phillies won 7-6. Nick Castellanos in that interview for his game-ending RBI single. They beat the Mets. They're even 1-1. Then the Padres hit six homers, got seven strong innings from Yu Darvish. They won at Dodger Stadium 10-2. That series is 1-1 as well. The AL series resumed today. Their game twos. And the New York Liberty are back in the WNBA Finals, second straight year, six times overall, but still looking for their first title. Sabrina Ionescu scored 22 in their 76-62 closeout of the Aces in Game 4 in Vegas. The Sun then outscored the Lynx 92-82, forcing a deciding Game 5 in Minnesota tomorrow night. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you. See you guys on the phones. You want to talk about baseball. You want to talk about football from yesterday, particularly with Aaron Rodgers and him limping on the field and the Jets losing again. 855-212-4.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
227.
Against the Grain.
All right, welcome back, Maggie Perloff. Let's go against the grain here. Cincinnati Bengals fall to 1-4. They're the greatest 1-4 team in the history of the NFL. But that's not my take.
Oh.
They are going to make the playoffs, Maggie. They are my Super Bowl pick, and I hate to double down. I'm not losing faith. Because 1-4 sounds bad, right? They have to win Sunday night at the Giants. But I feel they're going to be desperate. Caged animal Bengals are going to win that game. Then they at Cleveland, they have to win that game. Unless Cleveland does a quarterback switch and find some Joe Flacco magic. Then we're 3-4.
You mean Jameis Winston magic? They wish they could have Joe Flacco magic.
Like Joe Flacco last year magic.
Gotcha, sorry.
So a 3-4 Bengals team, that's fine. If they're 3-4, we're good. What's the problem? What are we scared of? Their offense is crazy good. Remember, they didn't really have a fully in-shape T. Higgins at the beginning of the season. Now he's back. Ja'Marr Chase is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. He's a combination of Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams. Joe Burrow is on fire. Yes, their defense has no answers right now. I'm not going to lie to you. It's bad. But the Giants, the Browns, the Eagles, the Raiders, that's our next four opponents. None of those offenses scare you right now. There's a chance that they immediately turn this around. I think you put this word. They got them exactly where they want them, Maggie. This is Bengals time.
Wow, that is really optimistic for you.
Show me the loss.
Well, but here's the question. The Ravens look like maybe they could be the best team in the league.
The Ravens are great.
Okay, and the Steelers always find a way to hang around.
The Steelers do not scare me right now.
All right, but again, this is a team that's probably going to run into at least 7 wins before their schedule gets really, really tough at the end of the year. And they're going to win a couple of those, too, improbably.
The Steelers?
Yeah, the Steelers.
Well, remember last year they lost at home to the Bears and the Cardinals when they were 7-4 with Kenny Pickett in perfect position. So, again, not terrifying me. Yeah, it's probably going to have to be a wild card.
And what if the Browns do go to Jameis and then they find a little magic? Then all like of a sudden now...
I mean, there's no Nick Chubb. Myles Garrett has 2 bad feet. I'm not... Again, like, that's a big if. I would worry about the rest of the conference before I worry about Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
I mean, I'll give you this. Yeah, as far as 1-4 teams, I guess they're the most dangerous. But what are you saying? I mean, then I'm putting you in the same conversation as the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers and the Rams, whose season is totally
saying,
off the rails.
Forget these teams. I'm none of those. I'm saying they're the best 1-4 team in NFL history. They have an MVP caliber quarterback for sure. He's as good as anyone out there. He's better than Mahomes right now. Mahomes isn't playing well at all. Lamar is the other. That was an incredible battle. Those two guys going back and forth. I just think the problem, obviously, is defense. They've scored 30 points 3 games in a row. The offense is cooking. Now the defense catches up a little bit. The schedule lends itself to some wins. Just hopefully they hold it together. The end of the season is really easy. They got Tennessee, Cleveland, Denver, Pittsburgh. And that could be 4 straight wins. Just hang in there, Cincinnati. I need my Super Bowl pick to at least make the playoffs.
Super Bowl pick might be sunk before Halloween.
I'm just curious. Do you not agree that this could turn around fast based on that schedule?
Well, I just saw the Giants somehow go to Seattle without Malik Nabers and without Devin Singletary and win that game. So I don't know if it's going to be a walkover this Sunday night. But here's the thing about the Bengals. Yeah, Joe Burrow's awesome, and Ja'Marr Chase is amazing, and on paper, they should be way better, but they lose these games. They're losing games to people they shouldn't lose to. And I'm not saying the Ravens are a team they shouldn't lose to. I'm just saying they lost that early game to the New England Patriots. You know, you're losing a game to the Commanders where you're going throw for throw. At some point, this could catch up with you.
That's their jam. They lose early season games. They love to. it always happens. Always under Burrow. So... I hope the schedule helps them out. This is a big game against the Giants. They're 3.5-point favorites. Seattle was dying to lose the game. I'm not going to read too much into that. We'll see if Nabers plays.
Yeah, but that's bad for Seattle. You're at home. Yeah. Giants seem totally banged up, and they put a thumping on Geno Smith yesterday. Geno was taking some crazy hits. And he's not a small guy, Geno. And he was taking... There were times they panned over to him on the sideline with those headphones on, and it seemed like he didn't want any part. And I'm not saying Geno's a quitter. I'm not calling him soft. I'm just saying I think he got beat up yesterday.
Yeah. But they still had a chance to tie the game, probably win it in overtime. Seattle, that's a big win, but it's not like they're world beaters. So the Giants are not scaring me too much for my Bengals. My Bengals. Yeah, I'm going there, Maggie.
Joshua is in San Diego, wants to talk about the Padres game from yesterday. Hey, Josh, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for taking my call. You guys have a great, great show. Love it. Listen to in the morning before my local show comes on. But, I just want to talk about Profar in the bottom of the first.
Yep.
So earlier you guys were discussing it, and you guys were saying that you believed he was, tripping to the fans and whatnot, which is fine and all. Though I did see a video from the fans during that play from that angle. He didn't say a word. And the only reason I bring that up is because a lot of times on the national media, not to talk too much about, national media, that don't look good upon the Padres, but, they always want to bring up the bad about the Padres when we have a really, solid team with great intentions and great heads on their shoulders. All you have to do is listen to the post-game interviews and you can know that. We don't have a Jesse Winkler type. We don't have a Rendon type on our team. Machado, he's had his issues in the past, but, he's a great, great leader, and he does everything right, by the book. So
yeah. But wait, you don't think that Profar was chirping at the fans?
I know he wasn't. I saw a video. He wasn't chirping at the fans at all. I can send you guys a video on X. He didn't say a word after he caught that. He was hyped, and he said in the post-game interview that that's the one thing he always wanted to do was to rob a home run. So he was hyped. He was hopping up and down, which probably didn't bode well, you know, for him or the team versus the Dodgers or the fan, their fans. But he didn't say a word.
All right. Joshua, thank you, and good luck to your pods. Let's
go, Goose. Manny, what same thing what Profar was doing, right?
He was just staring at them, giving them a mean mug. I mean, yes, technically he wasn't saying anything.
But was he?
I mean, it's all right. Relax, same difference. Josh. It's the same thing.
Or was he like, I don't say inciting them. Was he
antagonizing them?
Trolling them a little bit.
Exactly.
He's still trying to get under their skin.
Right.
No, he didn't say anything, but he's still trying to get under the skin by antagonizing
also,
them.
Also, again.
Miss me, Josh. Come on, bro.
Also, Tatis was saying a lot, and he was on the front step of the, because I watched the game. He's on the front step of the dugout, literally just looking into the crowd, just having a conversation with the crowd, and it was not a nice conversation.
This is the stuff we like, except you just can't throw stuff onto the field.
Right. I mean, this is a great rivalry.
We love it.
I mean, those Dodgers rivalries get a little
too much.
I mean, they've gotten dangerous in the past. But
recently.
By the way, Profar, that dude is fast. He is awesome.
Great player.
Yeah, Tatis to me seems like the most verbal player in the entire Major League Baseball. That guy does not stop talking.
Don't talk to anybody.
This is what happens when you get division rivals who are playing each other in the postseason. It should be like this. I mean,
that's
the
cool.
Mets and the Phillies are chirping at each other.
Yeah, I mean, these two NL series are really, really awesome. I hope they both go. I hope the Phillies win in seven. But if they went seven, this would be great for baseball.
Well, five, because it's a
for five. That'd be even better. If they went seven.
Just add a couple more games. Someone will be upset.
I mean, it looked like we were getting the Shohei party in game one. That was like that. Shohei would be good for baseball, too. If he could dominate this postseason, that would be the biggest rating they could possibly have.
Yeah, but, you know, the Padres are fun. And even with the trolling of the fans and the chirping, and they got some big personalities. I mean, I'm not like the biggest Machado fan, but I get it. If I was in San Diego, I'd love him.
I mean, he's yelling at what's the name, the pitcher last night, because he thought he threw somebody intentionally, which how the hell would he throw somebody intentionally in a playoff game?
Yeah, Flaherty.
Yeah, Flaherty hit, I think he hit Tatis and, you know, Machado. But you know what? Like, that's a guy I want in my foxhole. Like, a guy who's unnecessarily ready to throw down. Like, yeah.
Well, the only thing is Machado sometimes can dog it. But, yeah, I'm just watching the Profar home run again. Did he say anything? Doesn't matter. To your point, he's jumping up and down.
I also like how Josh said we don't have the Jesse Winkler types, as if Fernando Tatis is not on the team, jawing at people in right field. Josh, bro.
Just love your team, that's all. You don't have to convince us that they're a bunch of saints, you know? It's okay. We're going to like them anyway. 855-212-4227. Coming up, every NFL game recapped in 60 seconds.